All right, guys, how is it going? Welcome back to a brand new podcast. Fernando here, aka JNandis87. And I'd like to welcome you and appreciate your time to join in for another episode of the Smart Player Podcast. In today's episode, I'm going to talk about 10 reasons why you haven't made it yet in poker, or 10 steps, ways, tactical adjustments to take your game to the next level. Today, I'm going to talk about tactical ideas that you might have heard about, thought about even, maybe you have implemented them in some ways, but there might be more to it. More to it in terms of the depth, more to it in terms of the creativity that you could put into certain parts of your game, specifically tactical nature. I'm going to talk about that, what that means actually, just in a moment, that might take you to a better place instead of sort of like being in the routine that you are in right now. I think creativity is something that a lot of poker players lack, specifically tactical creativity. Now, what does that mean? When I talk about tactical, I mean I'm talking about strategy in game, right? Strategy refers to the RFI ranges, cold call ranges, and so on. Basically, what is being taught for the most part in the PLO Mastermind, I talk about tactical adjustments, which are talking about the next level in terms of the perspective. So not going as micro, but more macro perspective, the tactics behind what stake are you playing, what game are you playing, what bankroll management do you have, what bankroll building tactics do you use, what kind of goals and disciplines do you put behind your schedule. Like, these are sort of like tactical adjustments that are incredibly important to any success in any field. But today I obviously want to talk about how they apply in poker and give you guys some ideas on how you can maybe think about them outside of the box. And that's really incredibly important. Like, back a few years ago, maybe 5 years ago, I listened to a video by LaFord, who's now not anymore in the poker industry, I think. He used to be a heads-up PLO player, and he had this video on Run It Once where he talked about that most poker players are just thinking way too much inside the box, inside their box specifically, which means you would look at the stake that you're playing. It might be PLO 100, for example, and you would just think, well, how can I get my BB per 100 like one notch higher? Like, how can I go to from 6 BB 100 to 8 BB, or from 0 BB to 2 BB? How can I make it? And would just put all the effort into that achievement without really thinking outside the box. What are you actually trying to achieve is one of the most important questions to ask yourself. And I know that specifically when you are on the younger end, and obviously I'm still young, I'm 31, but specifically when you are between 20 and 30 years old, I think a lot of young men are focused on achieving excellence in one discipline, right? And they're willing to sacrifice for it. I was willing to sacrifice to become good at poker without really asking myself, like, what does that actually mean? What am I actually trying to achieve? Am I just trying to become good at poker, and for what reason? And I think once you become older or you are longer in the industry, you start second guessing why you are actually trying to achieve that. And I would really like for you guys to think of these things ahead of time, because they will make you in the process much happier and efficient to actually achieve what you're actually trying to achieve, which is not becoming great at poker. That's just a vehicle. It really is a vehicle. And I understand that there's something behind becoming really good at poker that is very appealing to all of us, right? The idea of maybe being respected by other peers, by being looked up to, by being a role model, or by just knowing for yourself that you're absolutely crushing it. I wanted that. I wanted that so hard. And that's why I'm in here for 10 years grinding it out. But I can tell you, as someone who has sort of achieved what I was looking for in my 20s, I always wanted to be a high stakes player, and I definitely achieved that and also things beyond that in that industry, that it's not really the goal. It's not really what is going to fulfill you or make you happy. And I just don't want some of you guys to hop on a path where you're making too many sacrifices without really reaching for the right stars, right? I definitely want you guys to reach for the stars, but you also should be reaching for the right stars. So on that level, on that note, think about what are you actually trying to achieve? What are you actually trying to do with poker? And I think for the most part, what we're trying to do in terms of like the human nature, and I'm going to get to the tactical parts of that just in a second, guys. I'm just rambling here, sort of like mindset stuff to begin with, to get into the zone. But basically, Well, what I'm trying to get to basically is, I think in terms of human nature, we're all trying to become happy, or we're trying to feel fulfilled, contentment, right? We're trying to make sure that our time here is spent well. It was worth it, right? And also the effort we put into life was worth it. And we're trying to also release suffering. And suffering usually comes from unfulfilled potential, right? There's a quote that says, man's biggest burden is unfulfilled potential. And I can very much relate to that. We want to fulfill our potential. But at the same time, think about it this way. What if you are becoming great at the wrong thing? You know, there's a big danger in that. And I think a lot of people are actually doing that. Think about most professions that people are following. You know, they become really great at a certain skill, but once they're 40 or 50, they recognize that this is actually not really who they want to be. It's difficult, though, to change at that point because they have accomplished a lot of things in that space and they have might already become attached to a certain living standard. So you don't want to become good at the wrong thing because it can also encave you, basically, and put you in sort of like a prison of your own circumstances. So once we recognize that the real goal here is not to become good at anything, it is to actually become fulfilled, happy, release suffering, we have to ask ourselves, how do we achieve that? And for the most part, we achieve that by living life on our own terms. And I think that is what poker can do for us. Now, within the process of accomplishing that, within the process of actually being putting yourself in a position where you can live life on your own terms with poker, you might have to make some sacrifices along the way. But you just want to make sure that you are making the right sacrifices along the way that are not going to make you suffer even more in the end. So the first thing that comes into my mind is that instead of thinking about poker very monetarily, I would think of it more as a progression path as a human that you're going through. Like you're becoming a better human being if you approach poker the right way. You start to learn how to improve yourself, your skill set, and in a very strategical sense, of course, at the poker table, but also mentally, you start to realize how important it is to have a schedule. You start to realize how important it is to be in shape, to be on top of your cognitive abilities, to form a network, to build strong relationships, to have time for yourself. Like these things become apparent, and they become apparent to me over the last 10 years. That's the real luxury. That is what I call life quality. And that is what I also connect to the poker lifestyle. And these days, I'm just trying to live the full poker experience, which is not based on the monetary benefits. There is part of it for sure, but also just the opportunities in front of me. And I think that should be the biggest motivator for all of us, that we can enable us to get into a situation in life where we have a huge amount of opportunities in front of us that we can grab every single day. And I want you guys to get there mindset-wise, but also very physically, so that you are in a financial situation and in an emotional situation where you can actually grab these opportunities and become fulfilled with them. So, without further ado, let's talk about tactical adjustments. And I hope you guys can take something away from today's podcast, of course. If you have any questions about it, if you want to talk about it, you know, hit me up on Discord, Jay Nandes. I'm always out there in order to get you guys to the next level, whether that is mentally, spiritually, tactically, or strategically. I'm out there, guys, grinding for you to take you to the next level, because that will take me to the next level, right? That will fulfill me at the end of the day, will make me a stronger human being. Let's talk about tactical adjustments. The first one is the reason why you have probably not made it yet in poker the way you think made it is defined by yourself, or why you're not heading to the next level, is because you might not have the bankroll. Now, that is often used as an excuse for a lot of players. They would say, like, oh, if I had the bankroll, I would be able to do X, Y, Z. But the bankroll that I'm talking about is not that difficult to get if you think more tactical, if you think more creative, if you think more holistic. And what I mean by that is, if you only have $500 to $1,000, it's very hard to make it in poker. It's very hard. And for most people, it's very dumb to try to make it that way in poker. Why is that? Well, because if you are playing micro stakes, right, and you're trying to reach your ultimate goal, which might be to move up to PLO 100 or PLO 200, wherever that might be, whatever kind of hourly you're trying to make in order to actually live the life on your terms, financially as well, are you really going to get there by grinding it out $2 an hour? That's the reality of micro stakes. You're going to make $2 an hour or $4 an hour or $5 an hour. Heck, how many hours do you have to put in until you accumulated another $1,000, another $2,000, $3,000 to go to the next level? And do you require these hundreds of thousands of hands to actually understand that you are a winning player at PLO 2, PLO 5, or PLO 10, PLO 25? And the answer is you don't. You just don't have to play all these hands. What you should do is you should value every individual hour much more in terms of the monetary aspect. So what can you do in an hour that is worth more than $2 and also is giving you more back in return in the long term? Well, you know, of course you want to get into the mastermind. That's already like elevating your potential. But at the same time, why don't you make 20, 30, 40, 50 hours outside of poker or $50 per hour outside of poker and build up a role that way? And then at the same time, get coached or join the mastermind. I mean, you're already in the mastermind, obviously, but also post hands and reach out maybe to smaller stakes coaches, invest in that in order to actually get up as fast as possible. I would value my time much more now, you know, looking back at my poker career, than I used to, and would take much more extreme steps when it comes to investing in my potential, right? So if you get surrounded by the right people, if you invest into the right person right now, which is mainly yourself, but also potentially a coach, for example, then you're able to actually move up much faster. But it requires a certain commitment, and it requires the willingness to think outside the box, which means to accumulate money outside of poker and bring it in poker, into poker, and fuel your bankroll that way. So I'm not saying that for you guys to hit me up, because I'm not coaching one-on-one right now at all. I'm focusing on one thing and one thing only, and that is the PLO Mastermind as a whole. Of course, reach out to me if you need some help otherwise. But what I'm saying is trying to value your hour as much as possible and see the potential you actually have, which is very likely much more than making $2, $5, or even $10 an hour. You can make much more than that and take it to the next level much faster this way. So that is the first tip. Number two, you don't have the strategy. Most people, in fact, don't have the strategy, right? That's why they are weak at the table. That's why they're strategically not where they could be. And the biggest mistake you can really make is to think that you can make it on your own. Now, of course, you guys don't necessarily think that 100% because you are in the PLO Mastermind and you are actually taking advantage of the 10 years experience that I have in the industry and invest into that knowledge. So that's great, of course, to begin with, but you know, there are certain levels within that. So it's not a black or white situation, you know? What I would do in your shoes is to completely disattach, like become unattached to the knowledge that you have and trying to find more knowledge outside of yourself. I see so many people that are just trying to break down all by themselves. They are looking at their hand history, they're looking at their database and just trying to always break it down themselves, and it will just take you years to even get there. I know it because I have done that. You know, back in the days, there wouldn't be as many tools or people that would know how to use the tools out there at all or willing to share that. I had to hop into Hold Manager and I spent so many hours, trust me, hours. I mean, I talk about months and years to really figure out what I should do and what I shouldn't. Like the member review file, for example, I created that like 5 years ago and then I improved on that over and over again. But I just, you know, pulled this out of my head and it took a long, long time. Like you don't want to do that. There's no need for it. Again, it goes back to valuing your time. What I would do in your shoes is to reach out, and it's for free. Reach out in the PLO Mastermind community, put down your hands, put down your questions, try to find like-minded people on the same level and push each other forward. I would reach out to people that are on the same level and people that are above you and trying to find advice through them. And I can tell you, once you are bringing other people into the equation, things are moving much, much faster. You will feel a certain accountability. You will feel certain progress. You feel uncomfort because you talk to someone who suddenly knows more about certain topics than yourself. And you start second guessing what you already know and start studying even harder or smarter in a different way. So start bringing other people into the equation and don't try to figure it all out by yourself. So tactical tip or adjustment number three, you don't have the right focus. You don't have the right goal or you don't have the right aim in mind. What I mean by that is, you know, poker is not a game about money, right? Although money is involved, it's a byproduct. And although I highly stress the importance of a macro perspective view where you think about how much you make an hour, where you think about your long-term career and the path you're hopping on in order to maximize the hourly that you have, while you are playing, while you're focused on poker, while you are improving, it's not about money at all. It's all about strategy. Poker is a strategy game. It's not a game about money. So all your focus needs to go into the strategical part when you are within the strategical realm, which means when you're not playing, when you're thinking about where to play, what your bankroll management is, what your bankroll tactic tools are. Sure, you can think about money, but when you are improving and when you're at the table, it's all about the strategy. And the reason why people get upset so much about swings is because they're so focused on the money. How much have you made this month or in this session? And when you become upset after a losing session, it's not because your strategy was bad or your strategy shifted or you lost 50% of your strategy. It is because there's a monetary swing involved. And the way to overcome that is to put more focus into the strategy, which means when you are playing, you should take down notes. You should color code your opponents. You should mark out hands, put them into different boxes, and just put all the focus on the strategical part of the game. And when you focus all that energy into the strategical part, it's so difficult to actually become distracted by the numbers, by the monetary aspect of it. Number four, you don't have the consistency or the discipline. That is obviously a huge deal. And I get these kind of messages, you know, almost every single day through Instagram or Facebook or even here in Discord or on Discord. People tell me I'm lazy. I can't do it. I'm not sure. I know what to do. I am motivated, but for some reason, I don't end up doing it. So I can definitely relate to begin with. Now, I know a lot of people perceive me as someone who's extremely disciplined and someone who sort of really has his stuff together. And they kind of like compare themselves and think, well, I'm not that. You know, I'm the opposite. I'm lazy. Here's the thing. I think what is the problem here is that you are thinking too perfectionistic about the daily effort you need to put in. I like to quote here, I think Bruce Lee, who said, I don't fear the man who has made 1,000 kicks a day, but the man who has made one kick a day for 1,000 days. It's all about consistency, progress every single day. Don't focus on making huge jumps, which means most people perceive their learning, basically, to be massive in terms of like changing them, right? Like when you set out for learning the first time, when you set out for improvement the first time, you might think that you're going to change everything overnight, and you won't. Think about it like going to the gym. If you haven't gone to the gym for quite a while, like once you are there, you're not going to make a huge progress, like not in a day, not in a week, maybe not even in a month. It's just about getting used to it. But you will make progress every single day. And then when you look back a couple months after, you made a huge progress in total. But the daily progress is not very large. And it's the same for me, actually, you know. The effort I put in every day, it doesn't feel overwhelming. It doesn't feel like I'm stressed. Not at all, although a lot of people might perceive it this way. And the reason it doesn't feel like that is because I don't even work that many hours, to be honest, you know. I'm just efficient on one end, but also, and most important, I'm just consistent. I create a piece every single day. Like, I just create one. And that's it. And that doesn't mean I'm working 12, 14 hours a day. I'm just there every day. I show up every day. And I want you guys to be just more patient if you are showing up every day and to show up every day. You don't have to put in 6-hour learning sessions or study sessions. That's just someone who's trying to understand the game of PLO overnight. And that's not going to be possible. So my advice here is to not have too high of expectations when it comes to the progress you're making on a daily basis, but be very strict when it comes to daily progress. Do something every day that will improve you when it comes to your poker game. Think, have a thought that is tactical about your poker career every single day. And although that one thought will not change anything in the long term, having a thought every day will at some point bring you that epiphany when you connect all these thoughts together and suddenly you realize that you should make a huge change. So I want you guys to be patient, but I also want you guys to be very consistent, which is like daily progress, but not trying to make massive jumps on a daily basis. Number five, the fifth reason why you might have not made it to the next level in poker is because you have not specialized yourself. I mean, there are so many routes you can take, heads up and six max, short stacking, tournaments and live PLO, different types of sides, regular tables, Zoom tables. It's so opportunistic out there, right? And it's hard to decide with which one you want to go. But that's the point. You have to make a decision. Now, I don't make a decision because I need to be out there. Like, my main goal is to support you guys. Like, I'm not even a 100% full-time professional player. I'm basically like a full-time professional supporter for you guys. So I need to figure them all out. That's okay. You know, I'm working with a team and I'm also very much used to, I already know the groundwork, you know. But for you guys, you know, pick a thing, make a decision and then go with that instead of being so opportunistic and always be focused on the new shiny object. I tell people all the time, man, if you're not crushing PLO right now, I mean, just start with the simplest form, which is short stacking. That's why we have a short stack bootcamp, which is so extensive. And first of all, make, you know, 4, 6, 8 BB, 100 at a certain stake and become comfortable there. Just specialize yourself and become just a master of a certain stack size, a certain game format, a certain stake. Trying to master that instead of just looking left and right too much. Number six, why you haven't made it is because you haven't analyzed the market and grabbed the best opportunities out there. There are amazing opportunities in the poker market, and I just got to realize it coming back here from the Master Classics of Poker in Amsterdam. I mean, the live games, you know, it's really the only, one of the only situations where you can play super high stakes against terrible players that you will never see online. So the question is, how can you get yourself into that situation, right? And the answer is quite simple on one level, right? On a practical level, you just travel and you hop into these games and that's it. Now, in reality though, you obviously have to have the bankroll, and we talked about that already a little bit. And you also have to have the awareness. Now, how do you become aware of the best opportunities in the market? The answer is by building strong relationships. By building strong relationships, you have to become friends with other poker players. You have to build up social skills, talk to them. Now, how do you build up relationships with anyone, really? And the answer is by giving value first. The reason why I'm so well connected in any stop is because I gave value first. You know, people come up to me and say, hey, I love your YouTube videos. I learned a ton. I love the PLO Mastermind. So much value in there. Like, what's happening here? I'm giving value, right? I'm giving value and put it out there. So I'm not saying you should build up a YouTube channel and do the same thing. What I'm saying is, when you see another poker player, you know, try to give value, you know, be interested, build up some social skills and start developing a network. And that network will then help you in multiple ways to tell you where are the market opportunities, where is a big game, where is a good game, what is the rig structure, could you travel together, could you share a room and therefore lower the expenses. Like, these things don't happen by accident, they happen because you build up a network. So definitely don't underestimate that. It's all about understanding where the right opportunity is, then make a decision and stick to that, and at that point not be too opportunistic. So you also want to specialize yourself, but first you need to find the right spot in the market. Number seven, you play too much and don't study enough. And I'm sure the ring bells here with almost everyone, right? Although there are some people who study too much as well. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to study 5 hours a day. You just don't. Like, even if you're a professional, even if you have high ambitions, you just don't, and you shouldn't. That's it. What you should do, though, is you should be consistent, which goes back to the prior tip. It's not about how much you study in one day. It's about how much you are basically engaging your mind, thinking about PLO on a strategical level, on a high level, every single day. And when you do that every single day for 30 minutes, an hour, you will fall to sleep thinking still about these strategies, processing them, processing new information every single day. So again, I wouldn't beat myself down because you might not study 3 hours or 4 hours every single day and you label yourself as lazy. Not at all. Why are you disempowering yourself? You're not lazy. You just start small. Start small with 30 minutes. Start small with 1 hour, but be consistent. Number 8, you don't handle the swings very well. Definitely also goes back here to when I talked about understanding that poker is not about money. It's just a byproduct. That is the first part of it. But when you're in a losing session and you tilt off your head or you don't find any motivation to play anymore, I mean, we all have these emotions, right? And the challenge is to overcome these emotions. The first thing is that you have to really accept that suffering, right? Having negative emotions, feeling hurt, feeling or being in pain is a big part, of any significant progress in life. Pain equals growth. And the reason I think that I actually got quite far, so far at least, in life, is because I always embraced suffering because I knew what would follow is something beautiful, which is the growth part of it, right? So if you're not suffering, guess what? You're not growing. That's actually kind of a disappointing thing, right? So let me make an example here. Went to Amsterdam, had a great weekend, right? I went to the final table, won 20,000 euros there. I was in for six, so I'm up like 14,000 and won like 3K, a little bit more than 3K in the cash games in one night. So I'm heading back home, you know, netting maybe 16,000 euros. That's great for the weekend, of course. And I feel like I'm on top of the world. But once I'm at home, what I realize is, oh, wait a moment. Like, this is the biggest moment of weakness for me, because when you think everything is going great, you start to become lazy. You start to become weak. It just is inevitable. So what I did the next step is to wake up the next day at 3 a.m. in the morning. So I woke up today at 3 a.m. in the morning to teach myself a lesson, which is it's going to continue to be hard. It's going to continue to be uncomfortable because I have to continuously grow. I have to make myself realize that the only true way of improvement is to feel pain, and that you should plan for it. You know, I should plan for it by putting my alarm clock to 3 a.m. in the morning and be ready to embrace that pain. If you're not planning for pain, then the pain that comes in unplanned will just completely destroy you. There is pain that will hit you during your lifespan and you're not planning for it. And the way, for example, a losing session, right? And that's only a small portion of it. But in order to overcome that, you need to put yourself in painful situations every single day. It doesn't have to be for 6 hours. You can just, you know, wake up at 3 a.m. in the morning and be like, oh my goodness, this is tough. And then you do it. That's good. That's mental toughness. That's building mental toughness. And the reason why most people can't deal with swings, it's really emotional swings. It's not really the poker swings. It's emotional swings, is because they are not putting themselves in these situations on a regular basis. You can't overcome the tilt in the heat of the moment. It's too late. Right? If you are overweight, you can't fix it in the moment. It's too late. You are fixing it in the progress, you know, in the weeks and months. So, for example, in 2.5 weeks, I'm heading to Prague, right? Now, I want to execute great on Prague, right? I want to have a nice routine. Kill it in the gym. Kill it at the tables. And also kill it in relationships, right? I'm going to be meeting a lot of people out there that are in the mastermind, people that are following me, people who are looking for advice. And I need to be 100% when I'm in Prague. So how do I arrive there with 100%? By focusing right now. Right now, I need to put in the hours, suffer, focus, improve. I need to work out. I need to get the sleep. I need to improve my game. I need to improve my social skills, my organizational skills, my communication skills. It's happening right now. And when it is on demand in Prague, I'll be ready because I'm already putting in the work, right? And I would approach it the same way. You don't overcome the bad situations. You don't overcome the tilt when it's already there. You have to work at it outside your sessions before that. You have to prepare for bad moments in life. Number 9 here, rounding it almost up, you don't have a strong network. That might be one of the big reasons why you're not taking it to the next level here. Man, it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. It's not what you know, it's who you know. It's just that simple, you know? It is true with opportunities in the market. They can tell you where they are. It is true with strategic advice. Has anyone coached you before who is significantly better than you for free? If the answer is no, then what are you doing? Are you trying to build up that network or not? You should. You should really try to reach out to people, ask for help, build up a network. And again, the easiest way to build up a network is to give value first. Now, you might think someone who's better at PLO gets no value from you. It's completely incorrect. I do talk to quite a bit of people in the mastermind, you know, have talks with them. It's not a coaching. It's not a paid coaching. It's free coaching. But it's helping me so much. It's helping me so much because I get to understand what some of you guys are going through, what you guys are looking for. So I get a lot in return, you know. And whenever I hang up these calls, I get messages from the other person. You know, thank you very much. Really appreciate it. Thanks for all the help. No, I thank you. It was amazing. I feel much more energized. I feel like I know more about what people are struggling with in PLO and how I can help and how we can become stronger as a community and as a brand. So always give value and never assume that you can't add value to the table and build up that network. It's so important. Again, it's all about who you know. And then lastly, the last reason, ending up the podcast today, I hope you guys enjoyed that one, why you have not made it potentially in poker or you have not reached the next level is because you are a consumer and not a producer. Consumer, producer, what does that mean? Well, a consumer is someone who watches 12 hours of streams, someone who watches even 6-8 videos in the mastermind in a row. They're uncrushing. I mean, look, in order to become good at anything, you have to put in the hours. Like physically, you have to do it yourself. And you're utilizing the consuming part, like consuming a video, a coaching video, advice, as a buy product, as something on the side. It's not the main way of improvement. It's not the main way of becoming better, right? Like if you watch someone working under the gym, you're not going to get better. You might watch it just on the side so that you know what you should do, but then you still have to do it. You want to be in the driving seat, basically. So you have to really make a decision here. And I think a lot of people, they know what I mean when I say, you know, are you an observer or a participant? Are you a sheep or a lion? Are you a consumer or a producer? You know, you want to be a doer. You want to be someone who does it, someone who puts in the effort, not someone who's just observing and consuming. Anyway, this world is all focused on consumption, right? It's all about people trying to sell you stuff and trying to make you buy more things and cluster up your mind. And there's nothing wrong with like buying into certain things, right? Like you want to have good food and you want to have nice experiences, you know, for sure. But it's all about the balance. How much are you producing? How much are you creating in life, you know? Are you working on your destiny? Are you working on your life circumstances? Are you working and building your life every single day? Or are you just on your heels and observing and watching how other people are building their lives and accomplishing their dreams? Really think about that, because here's the thing. When you look back 10 years from now, I think the biggest strategy is if you look back and you realize that you're still at the same fucking place. And the reason this is so bad is because you can't change it. The reason it's so bad is because you can't blame anyone but yourself. And the problem with blaming yourself is that you can't get rid of yourself. You know, if you blame a friend, you can end the friendship, but you can't escape from yourself. And let's say you're 25 right now and you really messed it up in the last 10 years. You know, you look back at 35 when you're 35, you look back to 25 to 35 and you messed it up. You haven't really made the progress you're looking for because you have been a consumer. You know, you own a lot of shit, but you are not a lot of things that you wanted to be. And you have to live with that for a long time, you know, 35, 45, 55, 65, 70. That's a lot. Those are a lot of years, right? And I would just be scared of that. Like, you don't want to become an observer. And most people are observers of their life. You know, everything happens at random. Or too much, at least. I would not risk that. I would become a doer. And you rather do your low-life thing, you know? Like, okay, I'm grinding low stakes. I'm trying to get out of the hustle. I'm trying to make $10 an hour, $20 an hour. You'd rather do that than watch someone else, you know, live the perceived rich life, so to speak. It is going to do much more for you in the moment and also in the long term, of course. So with that in mind, guys, become a doer, not an observer. I hope this podcast was powerful to you guys today. I hope I was able to transmit a certain message and energy, something that is helpful and also practical. It's not just, fuzzy talk. I want to give you something that you can actually apply. Let me know if that is something that, if this podcast is doing something for you today. By sending me a message, for example, letting me know. And also let me know what you guys want to hear about in the future. So with that being said, this is Fernando signing off for another episode of the Smart Poker Player Podcast. Take care, guys, and we see each other around.